Talking about freedom this week, of course, but the Word of God sets us free because our flesh wants to work against us. And really, when we talk about our flesh and we talk about the things that we deal with, it's really between our ears. The struggle that we have is in our mind. It is the battlefield of the spirit. The enemy wants to defeat us, and he cannot defeat us when we have our mind focused on God. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And so we've got to have our mind made up. And so we're going to talk about that today and ask the Lord to help us with his word. James 1 and 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Amen. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then Matthew 6 and 19, it says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And then 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things." That's a big word, temperate. It's balance. It is settled. Amen. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And then finally, Hebrews 12 and 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so today we are going to talk about the bondage of a double mind. It is very difficult to accomplish great things when you are divided in your loyalties, and especially in the spirit. The Bible clearly says in James 1 and 8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I have watched this as I have pastored over the years and been in ministry for over 25 years. It's amazing that I can even say that. I don't feel that old, but maybe I look it. It's not the year model, it's the mileage, right? So over the time of my ministry, I have watched people struggle living for God. And those that struggle living for God are the ones that are halfway in, halfway out. I have yet to see someone that is completely sold out for God struggle living for him. Now, they may have ups and downs because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, right? And so we all have trouble. There's not an exemption when you come into the church. There's not an exemption from trouble, from struggle, from strife, from trials. but it's the fact that we go through them with Jesus and with our heart determined that we are going to stay with him. And so we must be sold out. If we are completely sold out, there is nothing, there is no one, there is no circumstance, there is no financial setback, there is no health issue that can drive you away from the church. Because when you're sold out, it doesn't matter what comes your way. First of all, you understand when you're completely sold out for Jesus and you have a relationship with him, then you understand that no matter what comes your way, the Bible says that all things work together for good. And so if I'm completely sold out for Jesus, it doesn't matter if it's storming, it doesn't matter if it's sunshining, it doesn't matter if we're up or if we're down, God is working things out for my good. It is for the strength of my life. It is for the health of my spirit. And so if I can ever get my mind made up that I am going to live for God, no matter what is said, no matter what is done, no matter who hurts me, who loves me, who doesn't love me, who lifts me up or who tears me down, it doesn't matter because I'm sold out. My relationship is with Jesus Christ, and I stand on that relationship with him today. And so the nature of double-mindedness, I've watched these people as they struggle to live for God. And my pastor growing up, Brother Murray Lane, he always said this. He said it's hard to live for God easy, but it's easy to live for God hard. And as I said, I've observed that people that were dedicated to the church, dedicated to living for God, dedicated to when they got knocked down, they would get back up. When the struggles came, they would stay. When the times got tough, the tough got going, right? You know, and so they stayed with the church. And I've watched as God has brought them through some of the darkest hours, some of the toughest times I've watched. But I've also watched those that were not sold out. And it took very little for them to be knocked off course. It really didn't take hardly anything at all. I see people that are faithful through difficult times, through health issues, through loneliness, through all these. I see them that they're faithful, and then I see other people that have it, and it just takes little bitty things to knock them off course, right? It's like that song, Excuses. You hear them every day. The devil will supply you if from church you'll stay away. You know, he didn't even shake my hand. Got a hangnail today. You know, little Johnny's got a runny nose, so we're all going to stay home and help him blow it. You know, I've watched that as people, because faithful and consistent people, it's amazing to me, they're always faithful and consistent. That's why we call them faithful and consistent. That's deep. That's profound, right? But you know what? Inconsistent people, double-minded people, unfaithful people, they're always unfaithful. They're always unstable. You can't count on them. They're like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall, right? Basically, the only thing you can count on is that you can't count on them. You love them, you pray for them, you hope, you teach, you encourage, you know, you try to help them along, but some people are just not getting it. And I hope they will get it at some point, because if we can ever really make up our mind, because the nature of double-mindedness is really a miserable place to be for the individual that is double-minded. One of the greatest enemies that can come in and destroy our effectiveness for the kingdom of God is double-mindedness. Double-mindedness speaks of instability, of doubting, of hesitating, wishy-washy, wavering, and uncertainty. A double-minded man is being pulled by two worlds because he hasn't made up his mind which one he loves more. He is pulled by two different masters. In fact, he is a man who looks forward to plow the harvest of the future, but he also looks back considering the past. Double-minded men are those that are constantly speaking out of both sides of their mouth. You've been around those kind of people before. If there ever were a time when this little fox that spoils the vine needs to be put out of our lives, it is now. Double-minded men and women become guilty of fostering instability in every part of their existence. And they wonder why that they're not blessed, and they want God to pull them out, and they want God to stabilize their life, but they haven't really made up their mind that they are going to live for Him. It plays over into their family relationships, their job responsibilities. It's detrimental to the progress of their personal life, their practical life, and their kingdom life. The man that is double-minded falls into the strange category of being carnal and spiritual, serious and sensual, heavenly and worldly, manifesting evidence of fleshly drives and spiritual progress. It is evident that there are two different wheels that are driving this man. And we understand that that works in our life, right? Paul said that when I would to do good, evil is present with me. I see a war going on in my life. We know what we want to do, but then our flesh wants to do something else. And so in our lives, we have got to make up our mind that we are going to be sold out, that nothing is going to stop us, because there is a stability and there is a peace that comes with, hey, I'm going to serve God. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We have to make up in our mind that our home is going to be a place that's centered around the church, around God, and around His Word. We need to make up in our mind that what our children see of us outside of this building and what they see of us inside of the building are the same people, the same mindset, the same understanding, that we are set to live for God. If it's raining, we're going to live for God. If it's sunshine, we're going to live for God. If everything's going my way, I'm going to live for God. If everything starts going adversely against my life, I am still going to live for God. Amen. We have got to have the mindset of Job. Job said, even if he slays me, yet will I serve him. We have got to make up in our mind that we are going to serve God, because, as I always say, our best day in the world does not exceed our worst day in the church. My parents are here today. I'm so glad that they are here. For 47 and a half years, I have been taught by example and by word and sometimes by force that church was our world. On Sunday morning, we went to church. On Sunday night, we went to church. On Wednesday night, we went to church. On prayer night, we went to church. On work days, we went to church. Right? When we were having church work days, we were there. Even when I was young and just really couldn't do much, I was the gopher. Right? My dad would send me to the truck or the van to get something, and I would not find it usually. I still have trouble finding stuff, don't I, Sister Shindall? And my dad would invariably say that, if I go out there and put my hand on that. And he did. It was just like right there. It just magically appeared when he walked out there to find it. But what I appreciate about my parents is that they taught us that church was our world. We built everything around it. We built all of our extracurricular activities around the church. We didn't allow those things to interrupt our walk with God. And so we were at youth events. We were at children's events. We were at revival. We were there. Why? Because it's important. The only thing in this whole wide world that is going to exist in life after time stops is the church. Amen? The church is predestined for victory. It is going to live forever, and I want to be a part of the church. The church is predestined, and we're not predestined, but the church is predestined. The variable is, will I be with the church or not? because he's coming back for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. And when he sounds that trumpet and we rise to meet him in the air, I want to be with that number, right? I want to go meet him. I want to be ready. And if you're going to be ready, you got to have your mind made up. You can't be double-minded back and forth, because the nature of double-mindedness is instability. And instability in almost every facet of life. I've watched it. People that are unstable in the spirit, they're also unstable in their relationships. They're also unstable with money. Right? They're also unstable with jobs. Praise God. We have got to make up our mind. An unstable man is a man who wants to be saved but wants to satisfy his own lust. He is a man who can be happy in the next world but wants to take pleasure from this one. He is a man who has fits and starts of godliness but never a consistency about his walk. I call these roller coaster Christians, right? They get up on Sunday morning and they're going, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. We're on our way up, right? And then Monday morning, it's, wah! Wednesday night, they're up a little bit, maybe to the left, to the right. Then by Saturday, they're, wah! And it starts all over again. Amen. There's some people I just never have to worry about. Just, you know, they're just consistent. You know, they have tough times. They have struggles. They have surgeries too. They have adverse doctor's reports too. But they just steady Eddie. You just keep on going. It's awesome to watch those kind of people. It's a pleasure to pastor those kind of people, because you don't really have to pastor them much. They actually help you more than you have to give out, right? They give more than they take. And then there's some people that just, woo, 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 woo. You get the phone calls. You get the text. You're up and down. You're in and out. You're having to always pick them up and pull them back in. And, you know, it's double-mindedness. We ever make up our mind, that we're going to survive. We're going to stay with this thing. We're going to go forward no matter what the situation. Amen. The double-minded man is one that's trying to live in both worlds. A man who will repent of his sins and then repent of his repentance. Amen. He's a man who has fluctuating opinions that determined by the company he keeps. Uh-oh. He's a man who is given to emotion that can be calm and quiet as a lake with no wind on it, then change to an angry sea that is whipped up by hurricane force winds. He is unstable in all his ways. The Bible talks that a man without discipline, a man without commitment, a man without faithfulness is like a city without walls. And what the Bible is always using, it's using references that the people understand. They understood that the walls of the city is what protected them from the enemy coming in by night. That's why when Nehemiah was in captivity and he heard the news back from Jerusalem that the walls were broken down, that he sat down and wept. His countenance had fallen because he was worried about the city that he loved. And the king noticed it. What's wrong? He said, well, the city, the walls are torn down. And the king was so moved by this man's passion for his city that not only did he let him go back, but he gave him the resources to build it, because the wall of the city is very important. But a man that cannot control himself, a man that cannot discipline himself, a person that cannot be consistent is like a city without walls. And what does that mean? Everything that's good gets out and everything that's bad gets in. It is a part of their struggle. And if we're not careful, we even as Christians are easily tempted to fall into this double-minded mindset. We've got to be careful because it could happen to us. There is a temptation for every saint of God to fall into the trap of double-mindedness. Why is that? Just because Paul admitted it. He was, the greatest missionary in the Bible. He preached the gospel all to Asia. He started so many churches. And he said, hey, when I would to do good, there's still something fighting against me. There's a thorn in my side. I'm struggling. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to pray. We've got to read the word. We've got to stay connected. Amen. We've got to stay accountable because it's important for us to be connected to the church because there's strength. The Bible talks about two are better than one. The enemy wants to prey on us, wants to defeat us, and how he does that is by isolating you. If he can get you isolated by your hurt, by your fear, by your doubt, by your job schedule, by your mindset, if he can get you isolated, then he can pull you down. But if you're connected, if you're connected to the church body, if you're connected to the church leadership, your pastor, your ministry that is in the church, you're connected. The enemy's not going to mess with you near as much because he knows that you're not alone. That when you're down, somebody's going to be there. Hey, I'm going to pick you up, right? I'm going to help you up. When your heart is overwhelmed, I'm going to lead you to the rock that's higher than we are. I'm going to help you through your struggles. And so the enemy knows that if he can get you separated, if he can make you isolate yourself, then he can take you down. But you stay with the church. You stay connected to the people around you. You love your brother and sister, and you put down anything that ever comes up between you. You put it down with forgiveness, right? We can't be forgiven unless we forgive. So we put it down with forgiveness, and we stay connected because the enemy knows that when we are connected to the body, that even when we're hurt, we heal. Even when we're confused, there's understanding in the body. There's understanding coming from the pulpit. There's wisdom coming from the Bible teaching. And there's power coming when we begin to worship together and we begin to pray together. Amen. Quotes on double-mindedness. John Mason said this, "The double-minded man is easily overcome in the hour of temptation." E. Stanley Jones said, "If you don't make up your mind, then your unmade mind will unmake you." Here is the place where there must be no dallying, for any dallying will be a Trojan horse that will get on the inside and open the gates to the enemy. God can do anything for the man who has a made-up mind. Amen. And Job had a made-up mind. He lost it all. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. Amen. His friends accused him of sinning. His wife told him to give up. Right? I heard a man say one time, he said, It's pretty typical of the enemy. He took the children and left the wife to give him a hard time. I don't have a wife like that, so that's okay. Amen. Be an encourager to your spouse, right? But he went through all that, and his friends even accused him of sinning. What have you done? What did you do to deserve all this? And so ultimately, Job said, "I am not going to give up. I'm not going to let my circumstance determine my future." And so he decided that he was going to live for God, even if God killed him, even if God took him down. He was going to go out with faith. I love the book of Hebrews, and we call that, the chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Faith. And it lists all of these victorious people. And then at the end, it talks about the others. We don't usually preach about the others very much. We don't usually dance about the others very much, but it says others received not their promise. They died in faith. Wow. Can you imagine taking your last breath in faith? That, hey, I know there's victory. I know God has taken care of this. I know I may not see my promise here, but I'm going to see my promise there. I may not get it in the flesh, but I'm going to get it in the spirit. And when I get it in the spirit, it's going to be so much greater than the temporary solution that I could glean now. They all died in faith. Can you believe that? What a powerful testimony. I want to see my promise. I want to obtain the things that I pursue in this life. I want to do that. I want to keep reaching for those. But if not, I'm going to serve the Lord. If not, I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep singing. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep being committed. If not, even if every prophecy I've ever received, every call I've ever had, every feeling in the spirit I've ever received from God, if I never see it with my own eyes, I'm going to keep serving God. Amen. I love King David. You know, King David, he had a vision. He had a desire to build a temple, and God said no. But that didn't stop him. I think Brother Beardsley mentioned it last week. That didn't stop him. He got all the money together. He got all the wood together. He got all the gold together. He got everything together, and he said, Solomon, you're not going to have to borrow any money. You're not going to have to try to gather anything. I'm going to have it all ready for you. And even though he knew that he would never walk through the doors of that beautiful temple, even though he knew that he would never see it completed, that he continued to invest. And when he died knowing that one day that his dream would live. Could we ever make up in our mind that all of our dreams and hopes, if we don't see them, we're still going to work, we're still going to invest, we're still going to give, we're still going to pray, we're still going to reach? Because there's a generation coming behind me that is going to take the baton and they're going to run with it. Amen. Praise God. It's been an amazing couple of months for us as a family. My daughter graduated from high school. My son graduated from college. And then on Thursday, he got down on one knee and asked a girl to marry him. And she said yes. And so it's been a crazy week for us and a crazy couple of months, really. Just an amazing thing to watch. But I see my son, and I see what his potential is. And I believe he's going to do so much greater than what I have done. There's an anointing on his life, and I'm thankful. And I not only want to invest in the kingdom, the responsibility that God has given me, but I'm investing in the future, the people that he will reach, the churches he will build. Amen. The things he will do for God. I want to be sold out. I want to be sold out because they're counting on me. They're counting on me. You need to be sold out because your family's counting on you. You need to decide that I'm going to live for God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can't make your kids serve the Lord, but I tell you, you can make them be lost almost. There's a few that survive. There's a few that survive. But if you will determine in your mind, you give them the greatest opportunity to live for God. But if you're up and down, in and out, wishy-washy, yes, no, maybe, guess what? They're going to have a lot harder time living for God and surviving. So you want to prepare for the next generation. What does the Bible say about double-mindedness? 1 Kings 18 and 21 says, and Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye or stop ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He was frustrated. He looked and he saw these people that were still keeping some remnants of the law. Just they were going through the tradition. But then on the other hand, they were hedging their bets by worshiping Baal. And so God is wanting them to make up their mind. And this is the great story in Scripture where he told the prophets of Baal, hey, you build an altar, and I'll build an altar, and we'll call on God, and you call on Baal, and we'll let them decide. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. And, of course, Baal never answered. Elijah's great. He started making fun of him. He says, well, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's deaf. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe you got to scream a little louder. And so they spent all day long cutting themselves, throwing themselves down, hollering and screaming, crying out to their God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And Elijah just prayed a little prayer. Boom! Fire came. And the prophets of Baal were killed and destroyed that day. How long will we stop between two opinions? 2 Kings 17 and 33 says, they feared the Lord and served their own gods, little g, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. They were confused. Then it says in verse 41, so these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. They went back and forth. Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They said, the scripture said, or God said, they say they're with me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, unstable in all their ways. Hosea 7:8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. What happens to a pancake when you don't turn it? It gets burned, right? Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testify to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, and they go to Assyria. They were like a cake not turned. They were devoured by the enemy because they did not have a made-up mind. Hosea 10 and 2, their heart is divided. Now they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. And then our text, we read Matthew 6 and 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or either he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's amazing to me how people try to straddle the world and the church out of tradition, out of guilt, out of fear. But if they would just decide, I'm all in. 2 Peter 2 and 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. We come to church on Sundays. We pray our little prayers, and we sing our little songs. And then we go right back to do what we were already doing before. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1 and 8. What a powerfully concise verse. The writer didn't mince words, didn't have to explain very much. Just said a double-minded man is unstable in all. It's one of those big little words I'm always talking about. All his ways. Amen. The classic verse for this dilemma of double-mindedness is found here in James 1 and 8. The double-minded man is unstable, not just some ways, but all ways. The Greek word in this verse for double-minded is which gives the connotation of being two-spirit, vacillating in opinion or purpose. The word also gives the understanding that it is a man who has two souls almost. Just two different directions, torn in two different directions in life. When Elijah confronted the children of Israel, as we've talked about, his question, how long will you be between two opinions? Amen. We always kidded our kids when they were growing up. You know, they get to that 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old stage, and one minute they want to be 16 or 20. And the next minute, you get them in a different setting or with different people, and they want to be 9 again. You know, they on one hand, they want to go out with all the young people and be cool. And then the next minute, you turn around, they got their Legos on the floor. And there was a Sesame Street song called Mr. Between. Mr. Between. That's what we always say, Mr. Between and Mrs. Between. You're between being one thing and being another. And that's the way it is in a spiritual sense. There's too many Mr. Betweens. There's too many Mrs. Betweens. Brother Betweens and Sister Betweens. Because people haven't made up their mind. But if you will totally sell out for God, I promise you that God will keep you. No matter the ups and the downs, the struggles, the storms, the blessings, the times that struggle comes, it doesn't matter. I promise you that your life will be more blessed, that you will be more settled, that you will have more contentment, that your marriage will be better, that your children will be better. I want you to know that if you will make up in your mind, God will transform your life. You can trust Him. If you give yourself completely to God, you can never lose. What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says that if you lose your life, you save your life. If you save your life, you lose your life. And so when we give ourselves to God, sometimes in our flesh, in our carnal mind, we think, well, I'm going to lose so much. I've got to go to church every Sunday. They're having Wednesday night too. Pastor wants me to come to prayer. What? And he wants me to be early, to be on time. Man, it's so demanding. And we feel like we're going to lose. But oh, let me testify to you of a life that has never known one day without the church. Oh, the church and the things of God are the greatest things in this world. And what you give here and what you give of your time and your treasure and your talent, I promise you that blessings will flow. I promise you that if you put yourself into the Word of God and you live the principles that are shown right here, there will come blessings in your life. It will make you have a better marriage. It'll make you a better employee. It'll make you a better employer. It'll make you a better daddy. It'll make you a better mama. I want you to know that if you live the things of Scripture, you cannot go wrong. So I'm not selling something today that doesn't work. Amen. I'm selling the greatest thing in the world, the only thing that's going to last. if you'll buy into this, if you will sell all, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. When he finds the pearl of great price, he goes and he sells, big little word, all. And he goes back and he purchases that one thing that he found. It is like unto a man that found a treasure in a field, and he hid it, and he went and he sold all. I always say it, that I'm sure that his family thought he was crazy. What in the world are you doing? Why are you selling out? Why are you getting rid of everything? Why are we having a garage sale? Why do you have everything up on eBay and Marketplace and OfferUp? Why are you giving everything away? What is going on? And he couldn't tell them because he didn't want somebody else to go get it. He said, hey, just trust me. Just trust me. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. He sold all. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when you make a definitive statement like that in Scripture, there's always an opposite. So that means a single-minded man is stable in all his ways. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. What a wonderful day it is. We're going to have a fantastic service, the second hour, and then we're going to go fellowship at the park. We're going to have a wonderful day. Amen. We have a pavilion out there. You can get in out of the heat. We've got waters for everyone and snow cones and tacos, and it's going to be a fantastic day. Amen. But first, we're going to worship, we're going to preach, and we're going to celebrate. And we're going to have a great time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word today. I ask you to touch our minds. Lord, help us to make up in our mind that we are going to live for God no matter what comes, no matter what is said, no matter what is done. In Jesus' name, bless these people right now. Bless our second hour. Amen. God bless you. We'll get together at 11 o'clock and worship.